A reporter noticed a little kid was just standing by his mom and dad, looking at his house that has been just burning down to the ground. The reporter was very sad, so he came to the boy and asked him, "Son, it looks like you don't have a home anymore." The little boy answered courageously. He said, "We have a home. We just don't have a house to put it in." He said, "We have a home. We don't have a house to put it in." Now, what a powerful reminder from this young lad. We see the importance of our lives. We see the importance of our families being together. This passage that we want to look today is a passage that actually personally has brought strength to my faith and also comforted me in my spiritual walk with the Lord. I trust that as we engage in the passage that was just read to us, it will be a blessing to you as you celebrate and observe Valentine's Day and even tomorrow, which is a family day to us. A very good morning to each and every one of you who are joining us for this online worship. We believe it's a wonderful time to just worship God, to acknowledge God's greatness, that God is in control of our lives and the things that's happening around us. Let's pray and ask God to be with us as we spend some time looking at God's word and also drawing strength for our lives and also for our families. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word that has been given to us. We thank you because your word inspires us, Father. It motivates us. It energizes us, Lord. And it fills us with your love. We pray as we read, as we meditate in your word, Lord, open our eyes to see you, Jesus. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen. Psalm 127, let me read the first verse. It says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain." What a powerful word of God that we read. Unless the Lord builds the house and unless the Lord watches over the city. Anyway, when we look at Psalm 127, though it has few verses, but if you look at the passage very carefully, it has just been packed with the promises of God. It also helps us to celebrate the sovereignty of God and shows God's love and God's provision for his beloved. As we begin to look further, we also see that God loves to be involved in our lives. He wants to relate to our daily lives and also the things that's happening in our families, my friend. You know, every one of us are part of a family. We are born into a family and we love our families. And families are a divine part of God's plan. And they are fundamental building blocks for a strong society. The writer of this particular psalm, he writes to remind each and every one of us that the blessing of the Lord is prerequisite for our prosperity, my friend. And we begin to see the importance of reliance. In other words, we begin to rely on God, not our own strength alone, but relying on God. And the same note, we also see the role, the action from our part. Now today, many of us, we talk about our personal calling. We talk about our personal dreams, our personal desires, and even God-given dreams for us. But have you ever stopped and considered that God has a purpose for your family? God has a call to our family. He has a very specific purpose and a very specific call to each and every one of us and to our families, my friend. God is for the family. You know, as we are worshiping God today, many of you would realize that families around the world are under increased stress and anxiety due to the pandemic that has been just stretching. On the same note, when you begin to see or read articles, you marvel to see that this pandemic or the times that we are living in has further strengthened family ties. It has helped for us to know our kids, their lives better, because we are there for them. At the same time, they too get to know us better. It has also created opportunity or occasions for us to share our values, our journeys, and also our worldview. Now, I came across an article in Faith Today. A Christian sociologist by the name of Todd Martin, a Canadian sociologist, he writes this article just reflecting the resilience during COVID-19. He says in his article, the healthier we are as families, the better we are going to able to navigate through the pandemic crisis. So the healthier we are, we're in a better position. We are aligning ourselves that we are able to navigate this pandemic crisis. Martin also says, a crisis doesn't produce weaknesses or strengths in individuals and families. It doesn't produce, but he says it mostly exposes them. It shows that during a crisis, whether we are weak or whether we are strong. What a thought-provoking statement this sociologist is making. You know, where is our reliance today, my friend? Where are we leaning on and where are we drawing our strength from? When you look at scriptures very carefully, it is God's will and purpose that our families would be a place where the Holy Spirit of God is seen in dwelling, and where the Spirit of God or the fruit of the Spirit is evident in our life. You know, history shows that if any society wants to survive, it must uphold, it must strengthen, it must continue to build upon the biblical foundations of marriage and family. Abraham Lincoln wisely said, the strength of a nation lies in the homes of its people. You know, we believe in a God who is so loving, and He wants to be involved. He wants to be involved in our lives, because each and every one of us are part of our family. He wants to be involved in our lives, and He wants to be involved in our families. Let's look at the verse that we just read. He says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. Yes, God wants to be involved, and we realize that we need God to build and protect, my friend. Firstly, we need God to build and protect. You know, this verse is a very straightforward verse. It says, you know, unless the Lord builds and unless the Lord watches. In other words, King Solomon, being a wise man, he says that God must be involved in our families, in our lives. God should be consulted at every time of our life, and God should be the one who should be there just to inspire us and to energize us in our journey together. And so without God's involvement in all our plans and efforts are ultimately in vain. You know, when you look at the passage, it talks about the builders or the watchmen. But we begin to see that neither the builders nor the watchmen can adequately fulfill their responsibilities without reliance upon the Lord. They can do their part, but they need the help of God, my friend. Because the building and the keeping ultimately depend upon God. Many of us would agree by saying that, you know, building a home or our families or our homes, this is a complicated matter because it takes more than human will or wisdom to accomplish. We need God's plan. We need God to be involved, my friend. When God is involved, God begins to work in our lives. He brings joy. He brings, you know, blessings in our life. And the builder is the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Is God involved in our lives, my friend? Is God involved in our families? Is He the main person that we run to as a family when we are deciding on things? When we are making decisions about things that's happening in our lives and also in our families, are we seeking His guidance? Are we seeking His will? Are we seeking His wisdom in all the things that we do? It's an important thing for us to reflect. And when we look at the Word very carefully, you know, we need to be very careful, because it doesn't say, the text doesn't tell us that the builders shouldn't build or watchmen shouldn't work or watch. We need to be doing our part, our labor, our role faithfully, sincerely, with all love. Because God is not against human effort. If you read Proverbs 31, you see God honors hard work. We realize that in everything that we do, God should be involved. His will should be sought by each and every one of us, my friend. If we are not seeking God's will, if you're not leaning onto God's strength, if you're not asking for the Lord's intervention in the decisions that we make, there is no reason for us to expect His blessings. And without His blessing, all is nothing, says Matthew Henry commentary, my friend. Is God involved? You know, in my pastoral visits, when I visit together with my wife to pray for families in my pastoral life, I'm very fascinated when I see Bible verses in the homes of many families. You know, sometimes when I read the verses, it's a great encouragement. I think we should be reminded of the things that God wants to do in our life. I've read verses that says in Joshua 24 verse 15, it says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." What an encouragement to see such verse in a home. "That as for me and my house, we want to serve God." Because that's your motto. In certain houses, I've seen Proverbs 24, 3 and 4, right? Where Proverbs says, "Through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches." Right? Can you imagine if our closet would have a verse like this? Colossians 3, 12. "Put on them as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience." Imagine when we come and gather for food in our dining area, if our prayers could be, "Lord, give us this day our daily bread." And if our kids' room or our children's room would remind us of 3 John chapter 4, right, where John says, "I have no greater joy than to know my children walk in the truth." You know, my friends, you know how wonderful if each and every one of us would echo the words of Psalm 90 verse 14. Each and every day, the psalmist says, "Lord, satisfy me in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days." Yeah, my friends, you know, can you imagine? These verses are so powerful. And if these verses finds its place in our homes, in our lives, all our labor will be blessed by God. And so Solomon is just warning us that without God, our efforts and our families will be empty of God's blessings. And so today we need to ask ourselves, do we depend upon the Lord to make the decisions that we make each and every day? Or does our Christian faith doesn't make any difference in the way we approach work, or even the way we approach our families? Or do we put our confidence in our abilities instead of relying on God? God wants to be involved in our lives. If not, what happens? Solomon says, if God is not involved, there are a couple of things he's mentioning. He uses the word vain, uses the word vain, labors in vain, watches in vain. And in vain you rise early. Three times he uses the word. You know, we realize the key words in these verses is vain. If God is not involved in our lives and in our families, what's happening? It's vain. In other words, we see how labor becomes an unblessed labor. We can work hard. We can work hard and give all our energy and all that, my friend. But at the end of the day, we realize that we have not actually achieved much. There would be a time that we will look at ourselves and say, what was all this for? It was pointless. Yes, we will be laboring, and then we realize, what is it going to do? Is it going to help? It becomes an unblessed labor. Secondly, when you look at the passage, he uses the word vain again, right? He says, the guards stand in vain. Unless the Lord watches the city, the guards stand in vain. He speaks of the city watchmen. The ancient world had no advanced warning system, so they depended on the sentries. They depended on the watchman, my friend. It was an important job. A watchman watching over a city may sound the alarm at the approach of a danger, but he may not prevent the attack of an enemy. If God is not involved in our lives, God is not involved in our families, my friend, let me tell you, you know, Satan is always there to snatch us away, to tear our families apart, to bring us away from loving God, and we become vulnerable to the attacks of the evil one. We need the presence of God. If not, there will always be a fear of the future. There will always be a fear of the tomorrows, my friend. Thirdly, we also realize there's an unnecessary anxiety. In verse 2, he says, in vain you rise early and stay up late. Right? There's an unnecessary anxiety. This man, he works hard, right? He works to exhaustion by getting up early and going to bed late. He's working hard, but then he realized that he's filled with fear and there is no sense of rest. He goes to bed with an ever-present worry in his life. The things that's happening in his life and his family continues to bother him because they have not been seeking the will of God, the guidance of God. They have not been engaging themselves in the presence of God, my friend. But in contrast, what's happening here? The psalmist says, those who trust God receives God's blessing, God's rest, and God refreshes them. It's important, my friend, for us to seek God not only in our lives, but in the things that we do as a family, in the decisions that we make. We need to be asking God, and God is to be the center of everything. Ephesians 1:23 says very clearly that Jesus came to fill our lives with his presence and his glory, my friend. Is the fullness of him who fills us all in all. What a joy if we are filled with the presence of God each and every day. Our families are filled with the presence of God. Secondly, what is happening here? We need God to protect us. We need God to build us. Well, here we realize we need God to bless us. It's only God's blessing that will last in our life, my friend. In my pastoral life, I've seen many people who are wealthy or rich, but they come to a point in life, they realize, you know, they don't have the peace, they don't have the joy, though they might have everything according to the world. But deep inside, there is a vacuum. We need God's blessings. We need the Lord to fill us with his joy And a couple of two things he's mentioning here. He uses the God-given rest. He says, for he grants sleep to those he loves. God grants rest, my friend. Do you know that we sleep almost a third of our lives? After a hard day's work, many of you would say, you know, I want to have a good sleep. A good sleep is a gift from God. And it's also an act of faith. Because when you lie down at night, you are saying, my Heavenly Father is in charge. I came across an article by the 19th century writer by the name of Victor Hugo. He says, when you accomplish your daily tasks, go to sleep in peace, he says. God is awake. When you have accomplished your daily tasks, go to sleep in peace. God is awake. He says, the Lord does not say, take it easy, don't work so hard. But rather, Victor Hugo says, you should effort today, now rest. The outcome depends on me, not on you working harder. I was reading another person by the name of Mary Crowley. Right? She says, beautiful. She says, every evening, I turn my worries over to God. He's going to be up all night long anyway. I'm just going to give it to God because he's going to be up. Yes, my friend. The Lord cares for us. He wants to give us a good night rest. He wants to refresh our lives, our spiritual life. He wants to refresh our body, my friend. He wants to energize us. Proverbs 3:24 says, and the same writer, Solomon, says, right, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. That's what he says, my friend. Are you finding rest? The rest that God gives us, my friend. That you know that God is in control of everything. Or are you lying down with worries? Bothered with so many things, uncertain. Let me invite you, and let me challenge you to invite God. Each and every day, start yourself with the Lord. Gather as a family whenever it's possible for a time of prayer, reading God's word together. Seeking his will. Lastly, he also talks about a God-given heritage. In verses 3 and 4, he talks about children, right? That their heritage from the Lord, offspring, a reward from him, like arrows in the hands of a warrior. In other words, there are three words that he's using here. The children are their heritage. In other words, they're the Lord's possessions, my friend. Each and every child in your family, they belong to God. They're God's gift to God, us. They're given to us, assigned by God to us, my friend. To those who are not having kids, you know, you might be bothered by this particular passage. By the way, this text does not say not having children is a sign of God's judgment. It doesn't say it. It just simply declares that children are a blessing from the Lord. Secondly, not only they're just assigned to us, they are given to us as God's possessions to our care, but they are a reward. What does it mean? Right? It conveys the idea of appreciation. It conveys the idea of pleasure, a joy, my friend. It brings the child, the presence of a child, brings added joy to the family, to the lives of the parents. I've seen parents, you know, telling me that after a hard day's work, though they are tired, when they see their child, you know, when they see their child, the tiredness is gone. God blesses us with our children. The same note, I think all of us will know that it's not easy, right? That's a lot of struggle, that's a lot of challenges as we bring our kids up. Lastly, when you look at it, it also says, they're arrows in the hands of the warrior. In other words, children are like arrows. What does it mean? It means that, you know, there is a basic responsibility of parents to direct the lives of their children. And they need to be given the guidance, the leadership. So the arrows will be an offensive weapon. And we look at it very interesting. They're offensive weapons. In other words, you know, they're able to fight against the enemy. And they are able to withstand the attacks of the evil one. So when we direct them, when we lead them, we guide them, when we bring God into their lives, my friend, and when they live a life beyond our homes, they are able to face the enemy, the forces. And that's what he says, they are arrows in the hand of the warrior. What a blessing. What a blessing. God knows that we need real rest, and he gives us. God knows that he wants to bless us, and he's blessed us with families, with our kids. Today, I just want you, if you have a child, look at your child. Can you see the face of God? Can you see that it is only God who has done? And God has given because he wants you to care. And today we need to ask ourselves as families, as individuals, where is God in my life? Where is God in my family? Let me conclude by sharing a story, my friend. I read a story about a family. They had a very priceless family heirloom. I think some of us have generation heirlooms with us. So this particular family has a priceless family heirloom, a vase that was passed down from one generation to the next generation. So they were just very careful to take care of this vase. So one day the parents of the family had the possession of the vase. And so they left their teenagers at the home while they went out for shopping. And they told them, you know, be careful with the vase because it's important. It's been passed down from our generation. After some time, when the parents returned back, you know, the kids met them at the door. And their faces looked very sad, worried, a lot of fear. And they said, Mom, Dad, you know that priceless heirloom our family passes down from one generation to the next? Well, our generation just dropped it. And they admitted by saying, our generation has just dropped it. We have dropped that heirloom. When I was reading that story, my friend, God has given us this generation into our hands. Let's not drop our generation. Because there are so many things that wants to take them away, snatch them away, to tear them apart, my friend. But God has given our families, our kids, our work, where he wants us to inculcate spiritual values. And to bring the message of the gospel to them, that they will be rooted in God's love, in God's word. We have a role to play. Let me encourage you, but just start praying. Just start praying together, and you'll begin to see God's wonders. If you want to be healthy in your family life, if you want to be healthy as a family, find ways to include God. Let me pray and ask God to be with us. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you because you're a God who's very concerned about our lives and our families, Father. And so, Lord, as the psalmist have said, O God, unless the Lord builds, we want you, Lord, to build our families, because when you build, O God, we will be firm, we will be strong. And we will be able to pass your love, your faith to the next generation, Father. And Lord, we thank you for your presence, O God, in our lives. We pray that we will continue to lean on to you, continue to follow you, because you're a wonderful and a great shepherd who gave his life for us. We thank you once again. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen.